Next step, number 799, it is the winter solstice, and we're celebrating sunlight, and I'll let you figure out how you spell it. It is the 21st of December, 2024, and we take the next step now.
Welcome to the next step with Father Boskin. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of faith and spirituality in their lives today. Blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century, Father Boskin brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. No need to check your brain in at the door. Armodoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. These podcasts are part of the expanding vision of Apostle.net. Turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Well, welcome. Glad to have you with us for a very special edition of this in this December 2024, probably the last next step we do for this year. December, and you know it's very special with Christmas and the winter solstice. Today happens to be the winter solstice, but I can't stop this music. hold on 1 minute. Okay, that was Hallelujah, I guess. I've heard many, many versions of it. I went back to the original. Actually, that was a Pentatonix version of it. Horrible words, huh? Tied you to the kitchen chair. I had forgotten how bad it was. Anyway, so much for it being on a Christmas album. Yeah, Susie got me turned on to Pentatonix many years ago, and I always like to revisit it during the Christmas season. Had it going on in my office, and then that song there, Hallelujah, it's on the Christmas album. And whoa, what words! Anyway, we'll just leave it for that right now, because I do want to focus on some very important words that happen to come to us today, being the winter solstice. Okay, we're going to be talking about light, of all things, because our Lord Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have light of life. Pretty wild, huh? I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And I got to tell you, I love celebrating the winter solstice. It's a very special day for me because it kind of brings everything together. It's the reason why December 25th exists. It's the reason why January 6th was forgotten about as the Christmas Day, Day of Christmas. It became December 25th to accommodate the winter solstice in the Roman Empire, which was a big deal. Of course, in Armenia, it wasn't. We had heathens, but not of this variety. Yeah, we're very different over there. So we kept the January 6th day, and there's a nice little video I did several years ago. I'll make sure it's on today's show notes. Make sure you watch it if you want some of the more details. But it's basically an exchange for the birth of the sun, S-U-N, for the birth of the sun, S-O-N. Yes, today is the birth of the sun, S-U-N. It's the winter solstice. The days start getting longer. And you can imagine people celebrated the winter solstice. Why? Because, well, life. Everything is life that comes from the sun. The sun keeps us alive here on this planet. And did you know that just this week, NASA was reporting that their probe has entered a new phase of the sun? I had heard about this back in 2018, that they had sent a probe up to the sun. But pretty unbelievable. We are this week the closest we have ever been, that human beings have created a spacecraft that has gone as close as ever to a star, to an actual star, of course, our sun. And they're recording temperatures of above 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. and which is relatively nothing compared to what the sun is capable. I mean, it's going to melt, I guess, eventually. I didn't get the entire story, but I did hear that this is the closest point that we've ever been there. So I want to bring this all together. Like we talk about our Lord, and we talk about Jesus being the light of the world. There is an actual physical light that warms us, that lights up our life. Everything we know about our planet is thanks to this beautiful sun that's out there that warms us, that gives us the different temperatures that we are able to adapt to, the light, photosynthesis, creating oxygen, so on and so on. In other words, it is a source of our life. Am I using vernacular that we're scared of? Why? Because in religion specifically, let's talk about Christianity, but in all of religion, we talk about forces that are beyond ourselves that are the source of life. In Christianity, of course, God is the source of life. And now when you get into a scientific model and you look at the birth of the sun, S-U-N, sun, yes, source of life. Birth of the sun, S-O-N, sun, yeah, source of life. Amazing, right? I mean, it's beautiful. It's harmonious. It just falls into place. When I tell you about armadoxy, this is what I'm talking about. It's our ability to bring this all together, to find the synthesis of our of the universe acting in harmony. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It has to be all united. It's just a matter of language, what language you're using. You want to use the language of religion. You want to use the language of Christianity. There it is. You want to use the language of science. There it is. It's the same. It all comes down to the same. The source, where it is, what it is. What does the sun give you? What does faith give you? What does Jesus give you? Let's take it step by step, okay? I told you I want to talk about the whole gamut of things. The winter solstice. Today happens to be the, there is a quiz. Interestingly enough, today when I was ready to start today's show, I go on to my Microsoft Bing. We have an assortment, right, of different browsers. Today I was on Microsoft Bing. I think I went there because I was looking up something. I forgot what it was. I was looking for something, and I got onto Microsoft Bing, and what do I see? The winter solstice quiz. And so I said, let me take it. I'm going to take it with you. My listeners, I want to know, because it says, how well do you know the winter solstice? And I just got through telling you, I love doing this show. It's the winter solstice show. So let's take it together. It's multiple choice. It can't be too bad, right? It can't be that. Let's see, what is it? 7 questions, okay? Let's go. You ready? What does the winter solstice mark? A, the last day of winter. B, the shortest day of the year. C, the longest day of sunlight. Well, I think I gave it to you. It's the shortest day of the year. And in fact, it's interesting. Shortest day of the year will also mean it's the longest night of the year. And so some homeless advocacy organizations take advantage of the winter solstice to highlight the plight of the homeless. It's the longest night of the year. Now, of course, this is about the northern hemisphere. There's that caveat, okay? Those of you listening in the southern hemisphere, those of you in South America and Australia, and I don't know if we have listeners in Africa. I know we have listeners in South America and Australia. Those of you in the southern hemisphere, you know, this doesn't pertain to you. Today doesn't. I know you have one coming up, right? 6 months from now, when we celebrate the summer solstice, you'll have your winter solstice. So make a bookmark, okay, and listen to this show. Listen to this show in a few months. Anyway, it is B, the shortest day of the year. And let's see, what do? We press it. And it says, yes, you are correct. Winter solstice occurs when either the Earth's poles reach its maximum tilt away from the sun. Okay, there you go. Next question. The winter solstice falls on December 21st in 2024. Does it always fall on this date? And the answer should be no, because, well, answer A is yes, B is no, C is only in leap years. I believe it's B, no, because I know it, in my memory, I remember it once fell on December 22nd. So no. Yes, the winter solstice, while the winter solstice usually occurs on December 21 or 22, the Northern Hemisphere, it can actually fall between December 20th and 23rd due to slight differences between our calendar year. Okay, there you go. So anyway, the answer was no. That 2 for 2 so far. Number 3. How many times a year does the winter solstice happen on Earth? Me detects a trick question here. A is once, B is twice, C is 3 times. I'm going to go with B, twice, because of what I just said. Down in the Southern Hemisphere, you guys will have it next year. So twice, B. Yes, twice is the correct answer. The seasons are reversed in the hemispheres. When it's winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere, it's the summer solstice in the Southern. So, to all of you in the Southern Hemisphere, happy summer solstice. Next question. The winter solstice is also known as what? A. Estival solstice. B. Vernal equinox. C. Hibernal solstice. I'm going to take an educated guess on this. I know it's not the vernal equinox out of the estival solstice. I'm going to go with the hibernal because of hibernating, I guess. I'm going to go with C, hibernal solstice. C, correct. All right. The word solstice is derived from the Latin sol and sister, to stand still. Sister, to stand still. On the solstices, the sun appears to stand still, pausing at the northern and southern limit before reversing direction. Ah, very good. Okay, 4 for 4. What of the following monuments honors the winter solstice? The Taj Mahal, Stonehenge, and the Great Pyramids of Gaza, A, B, C. I'm going to go with B, the Stonehenge. And for good reason, I know that, because we have a Karaunj in Armenia, which precedes Stonehenge by about 5,000 years. Stonehenge is aligned in the direction of the sunrise of the summer solstice and the sunset of the winter solstice. I knew it was connected to the summer solstice, so in this way, the winter. Okay, Stonehenge is the correct answer. Here we go, next question. In many cultures, what does the winter solstice symbolize? A, solitude. B, destruction. C, rebirth. Obviously, it has to be rebirth, right? The new starting of the sun getting, days getting longer and longer. Rebirth, yes. Long before recorded history, the winter solstice marked the return and rebirth of the sun. All right, the shortest day of the year means that tomorrow is going to be slightly a little longer, right? Okay. Finally, true or false, there is no sunrise in Anchorage, Alaska on winter solstice. Let's take another guess that this would have to be probably false. I don't believe Anchorage, Alaska is as far north as it would affect this. Let's try to go for a false. And the answer is false. While Alaska is famous for its long, dark winters, Anchorage does not receive above 5 hours of sunlight. Oh, it does receive, excuse me, about 5 hours of sunlight on the day of the winter solstice. However, the farther north you go, the less sun you see. There's no sunrise on the winter solstice in Yukiquib, Alaska. UTQIAGVIK. In fact, the residents of Alaska's northernmost town, formerly known as Barrow, don't see the sun for 67 days in winter.
Wow.
Okay, there you go. That is the winter solstice quiz. How did you do? I think we did, well, let's see, get your score. Good job. You paid attention in science. You got 7 out of 7 correct. You've earned 10 Microsoft reward. Oh, I get points too. Okay, anyway, I will put a link on today's show notes if you want to try it and get some more information about this. It is fascinating because, like I said, you know, so much of our life is dependent on the sun. In fact, that's even a misstatement, isn't it? All of our life is dependent on the sun. In fact, everything that you see is thanks to the sun, the sunlight, right? That's out there. Even at night, it is a reflection. The moon is a reflection of sunlight. The planets, they do not have light on their own. They have, they reflect the light of the sun. It's really remarkable. I felt this, I think I've shared this before, when I was in Rwandan village and it was 8 o'clock and people just went to sleep. And I wondered, wow, that's really early. Well, and you know what? By the way, that was on March 20th, which happens to be the vernal equinox, right? The equinox is the midpoint between the two solstices, right? There you go. Isn't this wild how everything just comes together? Anyway, I remember that night, it was around 8 o'clock, everyone in the village was asleep, and the reason was because there was absolutely no light. The sun had set, it was a new moon, so there was no moonlight, and it was just dark. Everything was dark, and you can't see it. Earlier this year, in 2024, we went to see the solar eclipse. We were out in Uvalde, Texas, and there, I remember, it was a very emotional experience. I don't know why I got emotional, but the light went out. The light went out and we were left in darkness. And that's what happens, right? When the sun goes out, you're left in darkness. I've been talking about the sun up until now, the S-U-N sun, the one up in the sky, okay? Now we're going to talk about the S-O-N sun, the one that's not in the sky, but around us. Coming up in the second half, okay? To start that, how about getting in the mood? Here is the Christmas song by Jethro Tull.
Once in Royal David City, stood a lonely cattle shed. Where a mother held her baby. You'd do well to remember the things he later said. When you're stuffing yourselves at the Christmas parties, you'll just laugh when I tell you to take a running jump. You're missing the point, I'm sure does not need making. That Christmas spirit is not what you drink. So how can you laugh when your own mother's hungry? reasons for smiling wrong. And if I've just messed up your thoughtless pleasures, remember if you wish, this is just a Christmas song.
Hey, Santa, pass us that bottle, will you?
A Christmas Song, Jethro Tull. Of course, a song that's had a big impact on my life from the early days when I first heard it. Let's see, how old was I? 1972. I was 16 years old the first time I heard it. And if I remember right, I do remember right. It was on the Living in the Past album when it came out. It subsequently appeared on many different anthologies, including on the Christmas album. Hey, if you want something different, I was talking about Pentatonix's Christmas album. That is beautiful. But something that will give you a little bit pause to think about things, Jethro Tull's Christmas album. It came out in 2003. Wow. Over 20 years. And there's a brand new one that just came out yesterday. It's a revisit of it. It's called New Snow, I think. Takes a while to get it. I've ordered my copy and haven't received it yet. But I've caught up here and there, little bits and pieces. Just a beautiful album. Beautiful album that makes you really ponder what it's all about. Jethro Tull, A Christmas Song. And you know what? I'm going to put the words on today's show notes because it's important. What does he say? There's a beautiful line in there. He says, "You do well to remember the things he later said." And it goes on with some judgmental things, you know, like when you're stuffing yourself at the Christmas party. How can you laugh when your own mother's hungry? Woo! Heavy duty when you're 16. And you know what's really wild? It's heavy duty now for me, too. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. Very special song. Let's get back to our show. We were talking about the sun, the source of life. We're talking about that sun. Now we're going to talk about the sun, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the source of life. Yeah, it's pretty bold to say it that way. Let me start off here, okay? I shared with you many, many years ago a very tender moment in my life, the birth of my son. And it was at a point when I realized that there was, you know, a second place where there are no atheists. There is a common phrase, there are no atheists in foxholes. In other words, when you're at that point where you're going to die, and you're at that moment where it's live or die. You're in that foxhole, you're fighting, and the enemy's looking at you, and he's targeted you. You're inside the crosshairs. You're going to go. There are no atheists. At that moment, it all comes together. You grab for anything because life is precious. And I made the bold statement several years ago that, you know, I had that experience, not in the face of death, but in the face of life, when my son was born, that there really are no atheists in birthing rooms. It's really a powerful, powerful feeling that overcomes you when that life comes into your life, when you see that first time that life comes. And I've heard that people have had this experience when they've experienced the birth of their pets. I know I had that same experience when I looked up at the heavens that day that we were looking at the eclipse and saw that it totally eclipsed. We were in darkness. the sun was gone and we were in darkness. And I remember at the birth of my son and each of my sons, this feeling that overcomes you, that you realize there's something greater than you. I think that's what it comes down to. You realize that this is not it. This physical existence is not it. There is something very powerful there. And life, that life force. I felt it's the same feeling I had when my dad passed away. When he passed away, we had this debate. Should we keep the casket open or closed at the funeral home? And we opted to keep it open. Much to my objection, I didn't want to. I said, let's remember the dad the way he was. But I'm so glad we left it open. Because at that moment, I realized that's not him. That was a shell. That was a shell in which he occupied. My dad occupied that shell, that body. But there was so much more to my dad than that body. And in the same way, when you are confronted at these tender moments, especially at the birth of a child, you realize that it's not just about that body there, that there is an energy there that has now come to life. And this week, I had a different revelation. Okay, let me share with you. You got to follow this. This is pretty cool. I mean, it's more than cool. It's very, very, it falls into line with everything else. It's very beautiful. So let me share it with you, okay? But you got to listen attentively because it's really interesting how it all falls into place. So let's start off. This week, we were blessed to have our fourth grandchild. And yes, there are no atheists in birthing rooms. When you see that tiny, tiny, tiny body, that tiny little, just that tiny bit of love, and you hold it or you gaze into its eyes and you realize that, you know, all the people in the world coming together couldn't create just a small little eyelash that's on this little baby. You go, whoa, there is something really wild here, right? It all comes together. But I'm going to tell you something really, really different than all of this, okay? They'd say that, okay, you can look at me and you can say, okay, well, you're old, you've gone through some experiences, and you're just emotional. What I'm going to tell you is going to show you across all kinds of boundaries, age differences, all right? She happens to be our fourth grandchild, the first granddaughter in our lives, 40 years, first time we've had a girl in our family. And in fact, my wife's email address is all boys. And she has to change it now because she's just kind of focused in. We've always had boys. It's been our boys, our grandsons. Now we got a granddaughter, okay? The first girl in our family. And her name is Noor. Who named her that? Our oldest grandson, who is 5 years old. Her brother. He says his name's going to be Noor. Noor means pomegranate in Armenian. Actually, in Arabic, it means light. You know, it's again with light. And her middle name is Arevik, which is like a small sun, the diminutive of sun, S-U-N, sun. While we're talking about these differences, let's focus in. It's the S-U-N, sun. Okay, so Noor Arevig comes into our life this week. And she comes to our house, and mommy puts her into a bassinet. And she's sleeping. That's what little kids do. They sleep a lot, right? Rolled up in blankets and sleeping. And so our oldest grandson, Adi, we're with him, and he wants to go and take a look at little baby. He's already met her in the hospital, but now we're going into the area where the bassinet is. And we go in there. Grandma takes him by the hand, and they go right up to the bassinet. What does he do? What does he do? He looks at the baby. He makes the sign of the cross and starts reciting the Lord's Prayer in Armenian. He's 5 years old. He's learned it in school, of course. But what prompts him? 5 years old. Nobody told him, hey, go over there and say a prayer. Nobody said anything like that. You wouldn't think. All he wanted to do was go see the baby. He goes and he is in the presence of this little child, of this little creation of God. And he says the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, in Armenian. And then he makes the sign of the cross. Now, what prompts him to do that? It's got to be something, right? It is more than just a pure chance. And when we were talking earlier about the lack of the sun, S-U-N, sun, meaning no life, in other words, we cannot exist without the sun. In the same way, I believe without Jesus Christ in our lives, we can't exist. And it's very simple. When you look at what's going on in the world, it is a lack of that Christ. It is a lack of Jesus Christ in our lives that prevents us from respecting, that prevents us from holding life as sacred. You know, religions talk about all kinds of things, but at what point do you consider that life itself is sacred? In Christianity, especially in Armodoxy, where we're talking about the Armodox way of looking at life, this is it, the sacredness of life. In Christianity, mainstream Christianity, yes, there's a sacredness of life. Now, how you're interpreting that gets all confused because people take it and they extract different parts of it, but it all comes down and it boils down to that the life that's been given to us is sacred. Jesus' message over and over insists about taking that life and making that life, taking responsibility, making that life a beautiful life. The responsibility you take, the responsibility that you have to really take that life and point it towards God, bring glory to God. What do you think that means? It doesn't mean that you're just sitting there and going, hallelujah, God loves you and I love God and I'm going to heaven. It means really exploiting that idea that God is all around us, inside you and me. He is there. And so when I start serving others, when I do for others, when I start caring about my world, I am caring about God. This is why Jesus, when he says, what does he want for his birthday? He says, when you give, he says, give to people who have absolutely no way to give back to you. When you give a party, invite the homeless, invite the lame, the blind, people who have absolutely no way to say thank you to you. Why? Because that's what God did to us. We have absolutely no way of saying thank you to God for the blessing of life except by doing to others. And it's that paying forward kind of idea. Think about it that way, okay, if that makes sense to you. You got to pay it forward. Don't wait for people to do stuff to you. Just help. Do things for others. Here's a little boy taking a moment to stop, thanking God and saying a Lord's Prayer. Now, what went on in his head? I'm not trying to put things, you know, something happened at that moment where he had to stop and he had to pray. And there's something beautiful about that. It's an example. Jesus says, be as the little children. Unless you become like little children, you cannot come to me. This is where little children, they don't wait for cues. They just do it. He just did it. He went and he said the prayer. And the challenge for us is to do that, to be like little children, to have that innocence. That's what the Christ light is about. Just like sunlight is outside, there is a Christ light. And that Christ light is inside you and me. That Christ light is inside of people. Not just you and me, but everyone. Everyone has that potential. But of course, life gets in the way, doesn't it? Life gets in the way. We're busy making plans. and life gets in the way. John Lennon said that. It was such a life is something that happens while you're busy making plans, right? That's life. Yeah, it gets in the way. That's why church is important. And there's a series that's on our diocesan website, Why Go to Church. There's 13 episodes so far. I'm going like, whoa, like it's not that complicated. Church is not about God. And, you know, I was teaching a class a couple months ago to a bunch of teenagers. And I think one of the girls got very offended because she said, because when I said that, somebody asked, why do we go to church? And I go, you go to church for yourself. God doesn't need you to go to church. Ooh, did she get offended? I said, no, God doesn't need you. You're going to church for God? I mean, think about it. You're going to church for God? Like he's waiting for you to come and sit there? No, you need to go to church. You are going there for yourself. It's that opportunity to focus in. It's that opportunity to be childlike. It's that opportunity to let the Christ light shine out of you so that for those few minutes that you are in church every week, you focus in on what's important. You've prayed to God. But what does Jesus say? When you pray, don't heap up extra words. God already knows what your needs are. Okay, so if God knows my needs are, then who am I praying to? Praying is not about talking to God alone. Talking to myself too. To the God that's within me. For me to wake up that within me is this energy, is this power that has been there since my birth. And now I have to harness that and use that. A lot of times we talk about, and this is a very famous cliche statement within the church, the youth are our future. No, they're not. They are the today. Jesus doesn't say, make your youth be like you. No, Jesus says, unless you are like childlike. Okay, we have so much to learn from our kids. And I saw that this week. I saw the Christ light. I saw the sunlight, S-O-N light, that shined through this little boy as he was confronted with life, brand new life in front of him. He focused in and said a prayer. It was really remarkable. It's really more than remarkable for me. Because there was no prompting. There was nothing. It was just something that happened at that moment. You can't recreate it, by the way. It just happened. But I'm sharing it with you because we need to pay attention to details like that. Just as we pay attention. You know, right now there's a lot of talk about global warming and there's talk about climate change. Two different things, really, when you think about it, because I think climate change, we're all feeling it. I don't know whether it's warming, it's cooling or not. We'll leave that to the scientists, but there is definitely a climate change. It is something that you are aware of. You are seeing that all around, and it's the same way. That Christ light, are you aware of it? It's around you. People are reacting. People are doing. And that's what that celebration is now for us. In a few weeks, we have Christmas coming up. We are in that period between now and Christmas called Advent. We have an Advent series. It's about us really focusing in. If you haven't checked it out, do so. I'll put a link on today's show notes. It's an entire series that focuses in on Jesus' teaching out of the Sermon on the Mount. There it is. It's those three chapters, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus lays out what his message is. And we're looking in depth. It's not like you can't go and read it yourself. But by coming to church, coming on Epostle, it's our virtual community, right? What we're doing is we're spelling it out day by day. With small little exercises, small little thoughts, small little inspirations, small little prayers that we can do together as exercises to really focus in so that when Christmas comes, there is really this understanding that Christ is revealed, is born and revealed. in our midst. I'm going to leave it at that. I'll put a bunch of show notes in there. Do check them out. But I had to share this with you. Today happens to be the winter solstice. The days are going to start getting longer. We're celebrating the birth of the sun, S-U-N. And today also happens to be a time for us to prepare for the birth of the sun, S-O-N, sun. And we do that by channeling and by understanding that we have control of that Christ light that's within us. Shine that Christ light. Make it longer days, longer opportunities to share that Christ light with others. Okay, that does it for today's show. Here's Susie to make her announcement. I'll be back in a couple moments.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Okay, that does it. Not only for this show, but probably the last Next Step for the rest of the year, which happens to be, I think, 10 days left. Less than 10 days left. I don't know if we'll put out another Next Step, but every single day we do put out a daily message. It's called Armadoxy for Today, and we invite you to listen to it. It's at epostle.net, as well as on all the major podcatchers. You can hear it on Spotify, on Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts. It's called Armadoxy for Today with Father Vazgen. Probably the easiest way to look it up is look up my name, Vazgen, V-A-Z-K-E-N, and they pop up. Anyway, the Armadoxy series is now focusing in on the Advent season, giving us an opportunity to prepare ourselves for Christmas, for the Theophany. And I invite you, it's all free, it's all there, and it's all for you. Likewise, we're going to be starting a new series, which will be some picks that are from here and there. I hope you'll be following it. So do get out to the mothership, which is epostle.net. It's apostle with an E, signifying that we're electronic. Yes, it's an electronic medium. I want to thank you all for your comments, long ones, short ones. Long ones take me a little longer to get to, but I appreciate them all. I met a Salvadorian couple the other day who happened to be listening to our podcasts in Spanish. And it was just beautiful that, you know, he came out and said it. I read a message that was on a gentleman's reel about how he starts his day off listening to Armadoxy and how it helps him focus in on what are the important things. So I'm very, very grateful. I end this year thinking about all the things that we went through in 2024. And the greatest of these is the opportunity to share our faith. This faith that has kept me alive, has kept you alive, that has kept this world going. And if we could tap into it, we're going to see that there is more hope and there is more opportunity for us to prosper as humanity in our relationships with one another, for us to understand, for us to reach out, for us to share the beauty that we have in our lives, to let the Christ light shine. That's what it's about. Let the Christ light shine. Okay, that does it for our show. Please check out the show notes, where you'll have links to everything I talked about, as well as the major link, epostle.net. I want to see you there, okay? I look forward to hearing from you. Have a beautiful Merry Christmas and a wonderful, wonderful Happy New Year. Remember, January 6th is not Insurrection Day. Without any political aspirations, one way or another, it is theophany. It is not about a political thing, whether it's insurrection or not. We'll let the courts decide that. We'll let people decide it. For us, it is theophany. I wish you a beautiful theophany if we don't talk until then. So, on behalf of the wonderful team that put us together, and that is my dear friends Greg, Susanna, Maria, and of course Susie, who produces this show, I want to thank you for joining us. May 2025 be blessed with joy and happiness in the Christ light. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again when we will take the next step.
Stand by for disclaimer.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe.
Forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are. Bye.